Welcome to One Planet, One Place Radio Show. The show for the human spirit. Brought to you in conjunction with the Evolutionary Business Council. Now, please welcome your host, author, international speaker, and growth coach, Simon Jordan.
Hi, this is Simon Jordan, and welcome back to another excellent edition of One Planet, One Place, the radio show. And on this week's episode, we've got an amazing lady who does face reading. Now, I'd never heard of this before. You know, there's some people that, you know, they read faces on poker, you know, you have the poker face and stuff like that. But I never knew it was, you know, an actual sort of science. Well, the lady we've got on today, Lynn Klassen, she's acknowledged as one of the world's top experts in the field of face reading, an ancient science. I thought it was, you know, fairly new, but it's not. It's ancient, and it was practiced by visionaries such as Aristotle, Da Vinci, and Michelangelo, that correlates facial features to character traits, and in recent years has been scientifically validated to 92% accuracy. That's amazing. Now, Lynn's career as a face reader began in the courtroom as a jury consultant. So wouldn't like to be in the dock when Lynn's around. Lynn has since served as a jury, business, sales, dating, relationship, parenting, and poker consultant. She's been lecturing and training internationally for over 23 years and is a highly sought after for conferences for all time. She's written 7 books on the topic, and her client base spans 17 countries. So luckily this is on the radio show, so she can't see my face. But Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Simon. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's great. Well, we spoke before, and a couple of weeks ago, and we did it over Skype. Now, there wasn't the video wasn't on, but you my sort of a still shot of me came up, and you are incredibly accurate. We'd never spoken before, but the what you mentioned about me and how the sort of structure of my face was amazingly accurate, absolutely incredible. I think you said, yes, I am born to speak, so I've got a perfect place on the show here. But it's amazing. So tell me, you know, I mean, you gave up a corporate career to be a professional face reader. Why was that?
You know, I originally signed up for the classes to better understand the employees that I had, because I had an average of maybe 250 employees. Once I got there, though, and started taking the classes, I just was so emotionally drawn into it, because as I looked at each piece of information I learned, I realized how that one piece could have totally transformed my life. I felt like, you know, one piece of information I learned, I may not have divorced my husband. I might have had an understanding that would have been different. I realized how I came across to other people and had never understood that before. You know, you look at yourself through your own eyes. I realized that I would have raised my boy. I have 2 boys. I would have raised them entirely different if I understood their unique personality. You know, we look at the surface, but we don't actually understand the underside of the person. And they were less than, you know, a year and a half apart, and so they were raised simultaneously, almost like similarly. I would have done all that different. And I left one workshop that was called Relationships in Jeopardy. And it was really understanding how to apply this to relationships. And I left so emotional and thought, oh, my God, everyone on the planet needs to know this. And I was in the corporate retail world, and yes, it serves a purpose, but it was no ways near as meaningful as being able to teach people how to understand the people that they're sharing their life with.
Yeah, it was obviously a very moving. I mean, we can all, you know, hindsight is always a wonderful thing, isn't it? But I imagine, well, going back actually, I think everyone has a path they're on, and you, having been on that workshop and looking back at your past and thinking, wow, I could have changed, but instead of, I said, delving too deep in that sadness, thinking, well, I can now take this on and to further help other people. So I think it was obviously, you know, the stuff you went through was important, you know, the bad times, the divorce or whatever. But is there a difference between body language and face reading?
Absolutely. Most of the time when people hear face reading, they assume that it's body language reading the face. But body language is the temporary split second, sometimes a fraction of a second, micro gesture on the face. So therefore, it is something that we can affect. You know, when I'm doing jury selection, we don't use body language during voir dire when we're choosing the juror because everyone is doing their best act to get excused from jury duty, where you cannot change the structure of your face. You know, the face is one of the most expressive parts of the body, and as an expert in face reading, I also know it's the least honest because it's the easiest for us to affect. But you can't change the shape of your nostrils because you sat down at a poker game. You can't change the distance from the bottom of your nose to your upper lip because you're on a blind date. You can't change your eyebrows because you're on a job interview. So with face reading, one, you don't have to ask them anything. If you can see it, you can read it. With body language, you have to first set kind of a baseline and then look for exceptions to that baseline. You know, some people go, oh, he's scratching the right side of his head. He's thinking. Well, you know, if he does that every few seconds, maybe he has dandruff or psoriasis.
That's a good point.
You know, but the face can't lie. It actually is outpictures the cellular level of the brain. So the larger a facial feature is, you know, the more frequently the person repeats the behavior that creates that feature.
So
an accurate history of a person.
So the experiences you have over time, what you learn, what you become, does that have an effect on your facial features?
Yes. When a baby's born, basically they're a blueprint of their genetics and of their mom and dad. That's it. However, as we go into life and we start having experiences, we either embrace the behavior that we inherited or we don't. Sometimes we rebel against it. So if you think about your brain, kind of like, you know, if a person's going to a gym and they're exercising a certain muscle, that muscle gets larger. The minute you stop going to the gym or exercising that muscle, it begins to atrophy. The same thing is true of the brain. The more we use a particular area of the brain, the facial feature with it gets larger. When we stop using it, atrophies. It's commonly known. Most Caucasian men lose their upper lip by the time they're 50, and that's because upper lip is verbal communications of emotions. And it's not because they're just chronologically getting older. It's they're making a new choice. You know, oftentimes once men get married, they begin losing their lips because the wife's doing all the talking.
Isn't that weird? The more you talk. I mean, I've got a reasonably big pair of lips. I mean, you said that about me. It's you know, that you're born to speak. Well, and you said if you saw me in a corner of a room or in a party and I wasn't speaking, you said you'd know that something was wrong. So, but it's so it. I mean, people. Let's look at the evil side of this, and people who are, you know, seem to be inherently evil. The guy who was up in court for was in Austria. The guy who went to that island and shot all those people.
Yes.
I mean,
Sanders plea for something.
Yes. Just awful, awful. Now, I mean, looking at him, do you think he's? I mean, I think he's you know, evil as they come. You know, it's awful what he did by killing those people. But those thoughts, those continuing thoughts, would that have had an effect on his facial expression, his facial structure? Can you see someone and think, yeah, there's a nasty side to them? Or, I mean, how does it work?
Well, actually, that sort of thing is not really visible on the face per se. What usually when there's a level of evil or whatever you want to call it, What we see are discrepancies between the two sides of the face. The right side of your face is run by left brain. The left side of your face is run by right brain. So oftentimes those kind of people, you know, they don't see the world the way we do. And there's a discrepancy between the two sides of the brain. So it's like, you know, either their face, one side will be very prominent and the other one not. Or, you know, I mean, everyone has a couple traits, you know, one eyebrow is higher, one ear is higher or something. But usually when there's somebody of this nature, there's extremes to this. And that's usually how, you know, because we do use this in our airports and things. And the police do use this also. So you're looking for, you know, things that are radically different on the face.
Mm. So for instance, yeah, you've got someone going through the airport. Do they? I mean, obviously, their facial expressions they can they change because they may be feeling guilty or nervous or whatever. So is that the kind of thing you train these people to do to look for those kind of signs?
in the airports, it's mostly software that they're using.
Yeah.
And it's not the expression because, you know, a con man, you know, like you or I, if we were trying to lie to somebody, it would be all over us. It'd be so visible because it's not something we normally do.
Yeah.
A con, what we call here a con man, they do it so habitually they don't even see themselves as lying. They can usually beat a lie detector test.
Right,
so
I
that's
see.
Not going to be visible. But what they're looking for are certain structures to the face that are more common. So when they're going through the security aspect, there's that quick photo, and then they're looking for similarities because they've actually kind of built a database of some of the more frequently seen character traits with that. But in our everyday life, we're not going to be able to see that. You know, most of the time, we're not exposed. You know, when I'm doing consulting to law enforcement, I use headshots. I mean, not headshots,
portraits and stuff, or the lineups you're talking about.
Yes, the lineups, that shot that they take then. Because you see, the kind of faces they see on a regular basis aren't the faces that you and I cross paths with. So I need them to understand who they're working with. But with the thing is, most of the time, we have a tendency to treat people the way we want to be treated.
Yeah.
And we don't have a 20% chance getting it right.
Mm.
It's like you have a very large mouth, and as we talked about, you know, you're born to talk. Even though I make my living talking, in proportion to the size of my face, my mouth is small. So I'm, even though I make my living talking, and I love the larger, you know, 5,000 people, whatever, it's better. But it's because I'm choosing to talk. But if you're in front of me in the grocery store line, odds are I'm not talking to you. As at a kind of a cocktail party sort of, you know, chatty sort of thing, it's hard for me to do that. So in certain situations, I know that sometimes I talk longer than a person likes.
Yeah.
In your situation, you know that sometimes, you know, not in a radio interview, obviously, but in other situations, perhaps you talk more than frequently than the other person would really like. So, you know, you might learn to, you know, help draw the other person into the conversation. Somebody else that has the small mouth might choose to become part of the conversation because we're really looking, other than in poker, all the other ways of applications of face reading, we're looking for the place of harmony between the two, looking for the balance between the two of us. If we can understand our differences, we can create a harmony and a balance that we would not have otherwise.
So going back, I mean, you studied this, you sort of fell in love with it. What fuels your passion now for face reading?
You know, I've often, you know, most of my life I've done things that were very creative. And the minute, you know, I used to be a hairdresser, then I was a floral designer. Well, once you create that creation, it's over. However, with face reading, you know, I can give somebody an insight and I can see their marriage healed. You know, this one woman brought her small boy and he was 4 and he was going to be starting school and they were already looking for, you know, the school was looking for medications and things to put him on. And I shared some things about his personality and how she could help him. And she was in tears. Now, and I never even saw her husband. And I said, but, you know, odds are there's somebody in the family that is the opposite and whatever. So the man never contacted me. But then the following fall, somebody contacted me for a face reading, but then they never sent me the photo. So I contacted him back. No, it was a gift certificate for his mother. He was the father of that boy.
Oh, wow.
So here, the mother wrote me back and said, oh, my God, it's made everything so different in the school. And we understand him. And then the father ordering that gift certificate tells me it changed him too. So when I see different people, oftentimes we think we know how we come across, but oftentimes we don't. You know, women tend to have high eyebrows. And that really means we're a little shy. When you first meet us, we need a little bit of space to feel comfortable. Well, this one woman was, obviously she had had her chest enhanced. And she was standing so close to me at a networking event, I felt like she was sucking the oxygen out of my
mouth. Yeah.
And then she proceeded to tell me how the man running this event had issues with women. No, he didn't have issues with women. He had issues with her. You know, so she didn't even understand that what she was doing, she was totally comfortable with. It made other people so uncomfortable, it made her twice as difficult for her to sell her service. And she had no idea because, you know, we're raised in certain houses. You've always been verbal. Odds are people in your family are verbal. So you see that as normal or average. Oftentimes there'll be somebody in my workshop and I'll say, you know, you actually talk five times more than most people like to listen. They go, oh, well, no, they get defensive. And the other people in the class will go, uh-huh, you know. So it's being able to see from another perspective and creating that balance and that understanding and seeing that the information that these people take forward makes their life better. You know, I can cross paths with them in a mall or something. They go, oh, my God, you know, you have no idea. That was so, you know, I've been, you know, my boss and I, it's like, you know, two peas in a pod now. We don't fight anymore. I was going to quit. And now I, you know, and those sort of things. So that's, you know, that just keeps igniting it over and over and over for me. And it's just so rewarding to see people make a simple change for their life that forever changes it.
Have you ever had, you know, the thing about, you know, the owner looks, or the dog looks like the owner and the owner looks like the dog. Do you ever have two couples who are, you know, really entwined together and in love and everything else? Do you see the facial patterns or shapes, they have similarities that have developed over time?
Yes. And they're not going to end up looking like identical twins, but, you know, the faces do soften because, you know, if one is more verbal than the other, they're looking for the happy medium. If one was out there and always had to have that change and that new experience and whatever, and the other one didn't, well, then the one that didn't need that steps up and does it because he knows that, you know, he or she knows that their partner loves it. So there's a softening on each side. And so there is an understanding, and there is more similarities between their face as they go through a marriage, absolutely. And people, you know, it's like, you know, I spoke at an event the other day, and he was a veterinarian that was representing this, and he said, you know, I said, in fact, actually, oftentimes people will pick out dogs that look somewhat similar, and so he's kind of like, well, what kind of dog do I have? And I said, well, you know, my guess would be a golden retriever. He goes, oh, my God, I have three.
Wow, that's brilliant.
You know? Because his face said that he was soft, he was kind, he was emotionally based. So I wouldn't, you know, pick him out to have a Doberman Pinscher or something like that, you know. My one son, the women that he'd been involved with, they always had like a Lhasa Apso or a Cocker, some kind of fluffy, cuddly, friendly dog. Then he started dating a Sicilian woman. And their dog, they went and picked out a dog together, and it was a Doberman Pinscher. Well, you know, it kind of matches the personalities, you know what I'm saying? So oftentimes we do see that similarities, yes.
So here's a question. Do you see the people who are perhaps healthier, more affluent, or more successful, do they have a similar trait, that there's similarities across their faces?
Somewhat. It's like every person, I've been doing this 23 years, thousands of people have come through my workshop. Every single person has a wide forehead. The width of the forehead is kind of like a shelf in the library. So the wider the shelf, the more books it can hold. The wider the forehead, the broader the spectrum of interest. So almost every single person that will be in my workshops has that wide forehead and a high forehead. The height of the forehead speaks to brain proportion. So it's like, you know, they have that curious mind. They'll be taking classes or gaining information their whole entire life. Where somebody with a more narrow forehead, it isn't that they might not have interest, but they won't have as many interests. You know, it'll be like a smaller bookshelf. And the same thing is like a broad jaw. The width of the jaw is about confidence and courage. So most of the time, people that have a broad jaw also have the wide forehead, and we're attracted to people that have that trait because, you know, somebody with a wide forehead, you meet them for lunch and then you go, oh my God, it's 3 hours later, because it was like the conversation was kind of like a ping pong match. It's just back and forth and back and forth, and it's so interesting and it flows. Where sometimes when you're with somebody that has a smaller forehead, it's a little laborious to keep the conversation going. It's work. And so what you find is if you have a wise forehead, if you look about your life, the people that you most enjoy spending time with, they'll have that wide forehead.
Okay. So people... So I'm just thinking now that we're going to talk about your workshop. You're talking about your workshop. You've got it's called Mirror on the Wall. Do your eyebrows really tell it all? I mean, eyebrows, really?
Yes. You can tell more about a person by their eyebrows than any other trait on their face.
But what about if they pluck them?
It means even more because now they've consciously overridden what nature gave them. So it's even more important. You know, there are some communities where the women basically almost remove their eyebrows and then they draw them on. It looks like they've taken a black Sharpie magic marker and drawn them on. And that's a way of keeping people back. You know, so you look at people. I'm always telling people of teenagers, if your daughter's tweezing her eyebrows down to nothing, you have to be concerned because what that's telling you is she's wanting to blend in. She's wanting acceptance, and she wants to fit in. So if that's the case, if they're down to just nothing, you have to look at the people she's surrounding herself with because the day will come when she might make a choice because she doesn't want to be ostracized from the group. But the big, bushy eyebrows, like you talked about, successful people, every self-made millionaire and billionaire has very thick, dense, bushy eyebrows. And the reason for that is the amount of hair in your eyebrow tells you how much information you can process simultaneously. So those guys are always thinking, always evaluating, always calculating. Their brain is always, always going. So oftentimes they can achieve things in business and life that other people can't. Now, there's always a plus and a negative. The downside to that is that oftentimes that's also one of the traits we see with cardiovascular disease. For the exact same reason. They can't turn the brain off to sleep and rest. And if you think, if you look at almost every inventor, you know, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, their eyebrows look like these crazy antennas, these hairs coming out from their eyebrows. And we call those wild eyebrows. And basically what that tells you, their brain is almost like a pinball machine. One thought, all of a sudden, boom, it triggers this thought, and that triggers this thought, that one. And so they can come up with things that other people haven't thought of. So, yes, your eyebrows are the most important trait, because when you meet somebody for the first time, first you need to know where your eyebrows are. Then when you meet somebody the first time, you want to gauge where your eyebrows are in proportion to those. Men will have either low or moderate eyebrows, but women can have low, moderate, or high. The higher the eyebrow, the more personal space they need when you first meet them. So if you stand too close or you're too familiar or you drop the formality too soon, it's like a circuit breaker blowing off and they can't think. You know, you could have the very product they want or you could have the qualities they want in a boyfriend or girlfriend or something, but they can't process it. It's like the lights are on and nobody's home. If you stand back, the highest eyebrow on the planet does not need more than 3 feet. If you stand back and start the conversation or reach out, extend your hand for the shake, they will step closer. And when they take that step closer, now you know they're letting the walls down.
So you must be great fun at parties or if people know what you do. How do people react to you when they know what you do?
Well, one of two ways. Either they go, oh, that's so fascinating. Tell me about my face. Or they go, oh. They put their hands on their face, turn their head down, and walk away. It seems it's either all or nothing. People are either fascinated by it or they're, like, turned off by it. I mean, I've done a lot of work at conferences and conventions for doctors, and they're really intrigued by it.
Have you ever met anyone and they haven't asked you, but you found out something about them, which you've sort of said, look, I don't know if I need to tell you this, and you've told them, and it has then made a profound effect on their life without them sort of asking you?
No.
Is always that sort of the unwritten code or something?
Yeah, that's the unwritten thing. If you don't ask, you don't offer.
Yeah. When you can see that they're struggling and you can see that there could be a possible solution for it?
No. Unless, especially in a public event.
Yeah.
Now, if they have made an appointment with me, then that is the permission. But in a public event, it would be just like, you know, I tend to be overweight. I have been since I was like 7 years old. Well, I wouldn't want them to say, you know, gee, have you heard about the latest diet? You know, you really need to lose weight.
Yeah, that's a good point,
know?
Yeah.
That would be embarrassing. It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
It would be trespassing.
Or do you just say to them, hey, I can do your fantastic reading, and then try and get them in that way? I just think you've obviously got a gift that, you know, you've been doing it for 23 years to help people. And I know it's not, you know, people, what do they say, the teacher will appear when the student is ready.
Right. And, you know, I feel like the whole thing, you know, yes, I enjoy what I do, but, you know, anyone can do this. If they put some time and effort in, anyone can do this. This is something, it's just like learning the alphabet. You learn the letters of the alphabet. You learn the facial features and what they mean. Then you start putting letters together to make words, and then words to make sentences. The same thing is true with face reading. You know, people that are listening to the show, when they walk out, they're going to see eyebrows in a whole new way. And they haven't looked that way before. It's almost like, you know, You pick out a new car, you drive it home from the lot, and you think, oh, this is so cool and so unique. On the way home, you see 10 more like it. Well, they were always there.
That's the reticular activating system. That's the part of the brain, yeah. So, I mean, if someone wants to get... I mean, this is a fascinating subject. I don't think the show's long enough for this. It really isn't, but it's... I mean, I'd love to get you on again for the TV show, and we'll do some interviews, and it'd be great actually to get some other people on and for you to
Absolutely.
Maybe do some reading. But that'd be fascinating. But, I mean, how does someone get started in reading faces?
Well, you know, you're going to have a backstage path to face reading for them, and that's where I would suggest that they start. I provided them some basic insights. And so the first thing is start paying attention to the similarities and the differences to the face. Looking at, you know, because a lot of times I'll say to somebody, you know, well, you have high eyebrows, and they go, I do. Or I'll say, well, you know, your ears are really far back on your head. They are. I'll say, well, you know how sunglasses, oh, yeah. So first they need to look in the mirror and get familiar with themselves.
Mm.
And then start looking for the differences or the similarities. And it's a little easier to start with, you know, people that you see all the time. So, you know, somebody walks by you in the office or your neighbor or someone like that, and you go, okay, my mouth is this, their mouth is that. My eyebrows are this, there. And then you start looking for some of the differences and the patterns and stuff. And obviously, you know, they'll have to have some information. But remember that there's no right or wrong to face reading. It's not good or bad. It's not like this is a better trait than that's a better trait. In my workshops, I use an analogy of like a lion and a giraffe. Both of them are animals in the jungle. But if the lion wants a drink, he walks up to the edge of the pond, just puts his head down and starts drinking. The giraffe, on the other hand, he gets to the edge of the pond, and he has to kind of work at telescoping his legs out so that he can bring his head and body down to the water. So they're both simply getting a drink of water, but how they go about it is different.
I like
so
that
that's
analogy.
Really, yeah, so that's really about the same thing. It's not good or bad, right or wrong, but it's understanding yourself and understanding the other person. And eyebrows is a wonderful place to start because they're so easy to see.
It's brilliant. So I'm trained in NLP, and that's neuro-linguistic programming, and we were taught in that to, you know, look at mirror and matching. And for instance, you know, when you get, say you go into a store and you're angry at something, that you've had a bad product or service or whatever, and you go to the the information desk or the complaints desk, and you say, oh, I'm angry, and if they reply to you in a really something which is a complete mismatch, it can make you even more angry. Whereas learning in NLP, you don't get angry if you're trying to help the person, but you try and match their tonality and their pace, and it just sort of, oh, you're in balance with me, and then it just sort of brings them down. So I suppose mixing the two together could be incredible.
Yes, and I teach attorneys that every day. You know, NLP is one of the most powerful tools as they're presenting their case to the jury and paying attention to what they're doing. Absolutely. You know, I feel body language, face reading, and NLP are three priceless tools to every single person in the human race. Because there isn't a day that we don't have to interact with other people. And that gives us insights into understanding ourselves, them, and then how to create the interaction that ends up in a win-win for everybody.
Oh, that's fascinating. Absolutely brilliant. Well, you've put together a fantastic ebook, which is available to the our value subscribers on the Backstage Pass. So just tell me a little bit about that and what they can expect in this great download.
Well, there are 144 muscles that make up the face, and this gives them almost 50. So it's not everything, but it gives them a very good insight because it starts off with the history. Where did this come from? Understanding the muscles and the different sides of the brain. It gives them a scale of how to read the importance. The larger the facial trait on the face in proportion to the face, the more prominent it will be in the personality. The smaller the trait, the less prominent in the personality. So it gives them a scale of 1 to 10 to learn how to scale that. Then they learn the ABC, which is basically now you're looking at the people in any given conversation or meeting and looking for the place of balance and that. Then it starts with the individual facial traits. I chose the ones that I thought would be the easiest for them to understand and also probably the most important in their everyday life. You know, there's so many subtleties that we can go into too. But this book will really give them that introduction, that beginner's guide to face reading, that when they go through the information there and read it, I suggest they go through and read the whole thing and then go back and start practicing it. And take one trait and then stay with that trait, you know, for a week, a month, whatever it takes them, until the minute they see it, they instantly remember what it tells them about the person, and then go on to the next trait. I mean, they really, you know, in a personal relationship, they will have so many insights about themselves and their partner. I mean, they will be amazed. I mean, it's not just a little five little tips. I think it's, I don't know, 23 pages or something. It gives them the beginning tools that they need to go and apply face reading into their life.
That's fantastic. Well, that's really great that you've done that for us. So if you are a member of the Backstage Pass already, go onto the site and go into that page, which you'll have the link for in the email you originally got, and it'll be on there, and just search for face reading or Lynn Klassen, and it'll be on there. If you're not a member already, just go onto the site, oneplanetoneplace.com, and click on the top right button on the top, and it's just, you know, for extra content, and you'll get on there and you'll get the stuff. But that's fantastic. I mean, really, it's a fascinating subject. I mean, I'm fascinated by the mind, and learning this now from what I've learned from you is amazing. I'm certainly going to be reading through this book more, and just combining what I know about NLP, fantastic. So watch out the guests that are coming up. I'll be at a face read, you know, but it's fascinating. So tell me, how can people get more information about you? What's the main website they can find, get the more information from?
It's Face Reading by Lynn, and Lynn is LIN.com.
Brilliant. So facereadingbylynn.com. Excellent. Well, we'll put that on the site. If you're listening on iTunes or someone's used the link somewhere else, go to the website, and there'll be the show on there, and all the information, all Lynn's links will be on there, because you're on Twitter as well, on LinkedIn, and you're on everything. It's fantastic. But Lynn, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thanks very much for sharing your knowledge. And this is an amazing art. Well, it's a science, really. It's an art and a science, I suppose.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
It's been my pleasure, Simon. Anytime. I love talking with you.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure. And I know we chat on Facebook as well. It's great. And you can find you on Facebook as well. Do you have you've got a Facebook page as well?
Yes. Face Reading by Lynn. L-I-N.
Excellent. Well, there it is. It's all on there. Fantastic. So this has been me, Simon Jordan, saying thank you very much for listening. And don't forget to stay tuned. We've got, you know, obviously we've got the Daily Show. We've got the radio show. Even I lose count. We've got the TV show as well. And there's so much stuff in the Backstage Pass where, you know, if you want to get this extra content, it's a great place. It's great. But this is all the stuff that doesn't go out to the general public. It's fantastic. So once again, Lynn, you're a star. Thank you so much for joining us live from Detroit. Well, the greater Detroit area, but it's brilliant. So this is me, Simon Jordan, saying thank you very much once again for the One Planet, One Place. And don't forget, this show is all about putting a smile on the face of the planet, because this country, the world is not separated by countries, it's separated by ignorance. You know, we're all on the same planet, so let's keep this place going, and let's keep this show going. So thanks again, me, Simon Jordan, saying goodbye and take care. Bye.
You've been listening to One Planet, One Place radio show. To make sure you don't miss a single episode, please subscribe on our website or via iTunes. Simply search for One Planet, One Place. And if you've enjoyed this show, then don't forget to share it and click the like button. Thank you for listening.